And the thing is, Oprah was going to give one of those bags to everyone in her audience. Well, what do you know?
Live from Columbia, South Carolina to Cleveland, Ohio, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulian on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's funny lady and self-inflicted wounds author Aisha Tyler, all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who just took a condo at Area 51, it's Michael Feldman.
Do you call him John Tooley?
Tulin.
Oh, you said Tulin. I thought the N was silent.
Tulin. Okay. I can call him Tooley, though.
No.
he's a little sensitive about that kind of thing. Well, you know, and this Oprah thing. In defense of the sales girl in Zurich, you can see how she thought the butler's wife might not have the money for a $35,000 bag. Simple as that. Okay, non-Oprah news then, hey? In New York City, Stop and Frisk is out, and Frisk on the Run is in. Okay. All right. And, the Stop and Bris in Brooklyn is even worse. So. Well, thank you for getting some of that. Some of you. The Obama-faced rodeo clown is the new head of the Republican National Committee. He's getting a lot of work now. It's amazing, really. Wish I would have thought of it. The boy who can't be named Messiah in Tennessee has been renamed Holy Jeepers Jones. Okay. The rogue trader London Whale has been charged, but the krill are long gone. Got no whales and krill for that to make any sense. American Airlines and U.S. Air, the merger is blocked as it's too much of a bad thing. The GOP is urging everyone to get really sick and overwhelm Obamacare. That's the latest plan. Republicans want to see Obamacare limited to Obama, as the name implies. Let's see. Now, you now must show at least one Tar Heel to vote in North Carolina. The latest. Show your Tar Heel at the poll. Utah beauty queen is da bomb. Okay. I didn't think so, but I how could I pass that up? The CIA acknowledges Area 51 but disavows Highway 51, particularly the stretch between Endeavor and Plainfield. It's just, they know nothing about it. Rush Limbaugh will moderate the Republican debate, or whatever the word would be. That's made in heaven, huh? Russian, those candidates there. Okay. Mice-fed soda become mousedly obese. No need to cry over it. I mean, all right, if you don't like it, just don't even react. How about that? The gun safety teacher who shot a student hopes he's learned a valuable lesson from that. Facebook apparently makes people feel out of it for never being in their own news feed. Doesn't that bother you? You look at your news feed. I should be in somewhere in this. I don't know who these people are, and they're in my news feed, and I'm not. And you can never be liked enough, you know. Oprah reveals Stedman the inspiration for the butler. I'll take that. I don't care. I'm desperate for any reaction. Steinway taken over by a hedge fund. Pianists in the future will have to dream of a hedgeway. Hey, how about that? More than 28 cups of coffee per week are bad for those under 55, but absolutely necessary for life for those over 55. Just to get things moving in the morning, for example. Okay, I did 28 a day. Instant replay in baseball because 3 hours of the Cubs is not nearly enough. 400-pound NFL lineman to be tested for bovine growth hormone. As Dylan once said, give me some milk or else go home. The carnivorous Ecuadorian panda found to be feral, Ted, from the movie Ted. He went rogue after the movie Flop, as a matter of fact. That's actually just him. Obesity data shows bulge south of the Bible Belt, visible from space. And this is probably not interesting to you, but I thought it was interesting. 100,000 people would rather live on Mars than in Kenosha. That's all the news that is. So much for that. Thank you so much. Thank you for your indulgence. And for being you. And for being here. Thank you for being here. Aisha Tyler has got a new book out, Self-Inflicted Wounds. She's everywhere. Aisha is. There's nowhere she isn't. Let's find out all about it. She's in Los Angeles right now and taking a brief pause from all her activities. You're everywhere, Aisha.
I don't know how to answer that other than to say that a couple of those people might be RuPaul or perhaps Tyra Banks. That would be fair.
I can't see that. RuPaul, maybe. I guess a little close.
Yes, huh? RuPaul, maybe. Absolutely. We're like doppelgangers. We often sub for each other, you know, in line at the Starbucks.
I bet. So you're in Los Angeles. Well, that's your home, of course, Los Angeles. Are you between gigs right now? Because you're doing Whose Line Is It Anyway and The Talk and Archer and...
Yeah, this is... Well, I'm not really between. Yeah. The between is very narrow and cramped for me, but this is a miraculous month, August, because The Talk is 11 months a year, so we don't shoot in August.
Oh.
But I'm still making Archer right now, and Whose Line we shot already, but it's airing now, so I'm promoting that.
Yeah.
And I've been on a book tour. The book came out a few weeks ago, so I've been on a book tour. This is a really exciting month because I've been getting 7 hours of sleep instead of four.
Wow.
I'm delirious with rest. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm punchy. I want to hug and throttle people at the same time. That's how delirious I am with this extra sleep I'm getting.
I think you would be dangerous with rest. I think
I would. If I had a full night's sleep, either I would like cure cancer, or it would be like a beautiful mind where I just covered the walls with numbers that meant nothing, but I was like really engaged, you know, and like geometric shapes. I've invented some kind of new coffee filter that doesn't actually filter the coffee out, but just turns it into a terrible slurry. A lot of good ideas that go nowhere. That would be what I would be giving you with, which is not unlike what I do when I'm not well rested. So
yeah, it's a heady
thought. It's a heady time for me. Exactly.
Can I just try something here?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Lana.
Keep going.
Lana.
Uh huh.
Lana!
Yeah?
Thank you.
Okay, you gotta commit to the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. I undercommit. That's my whole problem.
It does uncover some universal issue in your life.
Yeah, definitely.
If you'd given me a one additional Lana, I would have given you a what? This is literally the mantra of my entire dating life, because if you had just given me one more, I would have responded.
And mine as well. That's my... It's really... You know?
Yes.
That's probably why we never dated.
We're in the middle of making season 5 of Archer.
I
think I just recorded maybe episode 503 or 504.
Yeah. How much fun is that to do?
Oh, the best. You know, it's just a brilliant show. And I say that in the most self-involved and effective way possible. I just love it. But even if I wasn't on it, I would love it. And I don't think any of us ever... I didn't even think the show was going to get on the air. When I read the pilot, I thought, well, this is too smart and funny to make it onto television.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, we'll just make a funny pilot, and then I can show it to my friends when I've got them cornered and a little intoxicated. And now we're starting season 5, and it's just extraordinary. I'm really proud of it. It's the finest show that my mother cannot bear to watch.
Anybody's mother probably couldn't bear to watch that.
There's a mom out there somewhere who is like a cool. There's some cool mom somewhere who's watching Archer, or maybe she just has really poor decision making skills and probably shouldn't be parenting.
Yeah. And probably what you think maybe the strongest female cartoon character of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think there's any challenge to that.
No, she's very strong, as is evidenced by the fact that she's double wielding AK-47s. But whatever she doesn't have in muscular strength, she'll make up for with intent. But she's, you know, I mean, the great thing about these characters, I think why people like this show is, even though it's about spies, Archer is at its core an office comedy. True. You know, I mean, it's a workplace comedy right. about a bunch of spies who have, like, no impulse control, drink during the day, sleep around indiscriminately, and occasionally shoot each other in the foot. And everybody's wanted to shoot someone they work with in the foot, I
Definitely.
Imagine, at some point.
Yes.
So everybody can relate. I mean, obviously our behavior on the show is very extreme. But, you know, there's also this kind of odd affection that you get for people in your office that drive you crazy and at the same time are super fun after they've, you know, done a bunch of shots at the company party. At the very least, they're good for a picture for your Facebook feed, which I understand that you feel you're not in enough. So maybe more office parties would get you in there.
I bet you're in your news feed. You're the one person who would be in their own news
I just
feed.
Only look at my own news feed.
Yeah.
I only look at my own posts.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah,
people are like, don't you know that we moved and our kids are in college? I'm like, I don't look at your Facebook posts. No, you have to address me directly because yeah. I think with Facebook, as with Twitter, 99% of it are comments about what someone's had for breakfast.
Yeah.
And that's just not interesting.
Yeah. You're also in video games besides all these other things, right? So every form of communication is covered by you.
I'm just I have a paralyzing fear of not working. You know, I came from a working class family. My father is from the old country, as he would call Pittsburgh. And he grew up in a time. You know, I mean, Pittsburgh is what Detroit aspires to be someday. If three or four more buildings shut down, at least when he was growing up. And he just, you know, he just was this hardworking, he still is this very hardworking guy, and I just came up with this work ethic where as long as you are awake and facing forward and at least one of your eyes can focus, you should be working. And I love to be this busy. I'm very grateful to be this busy. I do remember a nice period of time when I was doing things like taking a lot of acting classes and making layer cakes from scratch. I don't intend to go back to that part of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I could make a mean chocolate mousse that's sitting at home at day watching 9 hours of Nickelodeon Junior. So I'm really quite happy to be this busy. And yeah, I have a new video game coming out this fall called Watch Dogs, which is about surveillance and hacking and pretty much just a documentary game about PRISM, about the PRISM program. So it should be fun for everybody.
Excellent.
Spy on yourself.
Will it be a Balls of Fury, too? That's what I'm waiting for.
What, shouldn't there be, though?
There should be.
There be a Balls of Fury, too?
I love that movie.
Me, too. It's become this kind of odd cult hit. When I read the script, I thought, well, this is Enter the Dragon with ping pong, which would have been the only way to improve Enter the Dragon, really. And I got to wear this kind of crazy. I got to spend time with Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
I spent every day with Christopher Walken,
wow.
which turned me into more of an insufferable nitwit than I am normally. And I would come home every night to my husband and go, well, Chris said this, and Chris did this. So I was really no fun to be around. But Christopher Walken is an amazing person.
Yeah, I imagine.
He would tell stories about, you know, like De Niro and Pacino when they were in their 20s in New York, none of which I can repeat here. They're not safe for public radio in any way, mainly because all the words are too short. There aren't enough syllables in any of the words he used for public radio. But,
and no matter what he says it like Christopher Walken. And he can't.
Well, that's good because he's Christopher Walken, so that it comes out that way. But he was just fantastic. We were both in drag for this movie, if people have seen it. He played this kind of Asian crime lord, and I was his bodyguard, and so we were both dressed like gay 4th-century Chinese emperors.
Perfect.
And he was fabulous. And he had red nail polish, which he would wear all the time, even when he wasn't working, which was so much fun for people to pull up.
Well, you know, he's a character actor.
Yeah, he's super method.
Yeah, he's method.
Yeah. And he would kind of help me around. It was like House of the Blue Leaves or something, or Madame Butterfly every day, only with a lot of potty jokes. It was really a delightful time.
Then also aggressive
ping pong, which how can you beat it?
Yeah, yeah. Not just to focus on him, but I just happened to see Annie Hall again, with a young Christopher Walken in there as the crazy brother, you know?
Yes.
Who wants to pull in the traffic on the highway, you know, when he sees the lights coming.
I think the most pertinent thing that is apparent here is that we should always be mentioning the films Annie Hall and Balls of Fury in the same sentence. They're literally almost the same film.
Yeah, they're interchangeable.
So, yes. Maybe like a double feature for an art appreciation course would be first watch Annie Hall and then do a comparative analysis with Balls of Fury. Yeah. See that just the stark similarities between the two.
Yeah, I would. That's worth a master's degree, I would say, in some schools.
Absolutely.
In some schools.
I'm sure that'll be a course at NYU in the fall.
And the book. Let's not forget the book, Self-Inflicted Wounds. And I mean, I guess everyone has had a lot of self-inflicted wounds, but you seem to have had more than your fair share.
Sadly, the book is not even a comprehensive accounting of all of the ways that I've soiled the bed. But, I have a podcast called Girl on Guy where I talk mostly to men, not entirely to men, but I was raised by my father, a single dad, and just have always kind of been a guy's girl. And so the show is kind of an expression of that. But I talk to a lot of artists and writers and comedians and athletes about how they became the people they are now. And then at the end, they tell a self-inflicted wound story, which is a story of something that's gone wrong in your life that's your own fault. You cannot blame anyone. You'd like to blame your mother or your girlfriend or the man or Area 51, which we now know is real, but you cannot. You cannot blame these things. It's your fault. Area 51 did not throw shots down your throat and then get you to punch that bystander. And so everybody tells these stories, and it kind of humanizes these people who seem, somebody like Chris Rock seems like he just fell from the sky, brilliant and perfect, and then you realize he's made the same idiot mistakes that you made in college, only he made them a few weeks ago, and you have the excuse of the fact that you were in college. And it just humanizes these successful people. And so then after 2 years of forcing these people to come on my show and humiliate themselves, I thought it was only fair that I turned the tables on myself. And so it's a comprehensive, not comprehensive, as I said, accounting of all the things I've done that were idiotic and boneheaded since I was five. But the point of the book is really that people come to me in my shows and my stand-up shows, and they'll say, I'd love to be a stand-up comedian, but I'm afraid I'm going to fail, or I'd like to write a book, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. I say, don't worry about failure. You are going to fail. You're going to scrub your butt on uncarpeted plywood. Get ready for that to happen. But don't let that keep you from doing something that you want to do. Fear of failure should never keep you from following your dreams, because success is not the absence of failure. Success is persistence through failure, and allowing bravery to drive you forward, and then embracing your failures and letting them teach you whatever they can teach you, which may just be don't stick your hand in a fire or put on pants before you leave the house, and let those failures make you a mentally and a creatively stronger person. So hopefully the book is just very fun, and you'll laugh at what a ding-dong I've been, but hopefully also people will be inspired to get out there and make their own egregious and spectacular mistakes, and hopefully they'll avoid bodily injury.
So like fear of failure should never prevent you from failing.
No, absolutely. You have encapsulated it perfectly.
Failure is good.
Failure is good because this life is quite brief, and if you let a fear of failing drive your choices, well, you'll just kind of stay inside in a padded room, won't you? And eating soft food with your hands, which can be a good time on the short scale, but pudding just gets old and it gets under your fingernails, and there's just a lot of issues to deal with there.
Yeah, and for a comedian or for someone who wants to stand up or something like that, so much of that is useful in your premises and developing your premises.
Yeah.
And you speak of premises.
Yeah. Well, I always say that people don't want to be friends with the guy who comes running into a bar at 5:30 and says, "Hey guys, I nailed the presentation. I got a new corner office. I got a raise. I'm dating a model. Look at my suit. It's from Italy." Everybody wants to punch that guy in the neck. But everybody loves the guy who comes sprinting into the bar with one shoe and one bare foot, and they're damp, and their pockets are turned out, and they say, "Oh my God, I think I just set my car on fire." Everybody's like, "Oh, hey, sit down. Let me buy you a beer. Tell me about it." So that's absolutely true in comedy, that that honesty and divulgence are critical, and people want to know they can relate to you. And so the best stories, and every comedian, and I say this in the book, most people want to hide their embarrassing stories, but comedians are the ones who come running into a party and go, "Oh my God, I am such a jackass. Let me tell you what I did." Everybody loves to tell that story. Well, comedians like to tell that story. Maybe other people go into therapy. But luckily for me, I get paid to have therapy on stage in front of the drinking audience, which I'm sure you can relate to quite specifically.
Which part of that?
Well, maybe not the drinking audience, though. I don't know how people get down in Wisconsin. They may all be totally intoxicated right now.
No, they're on coffee. It's public radio.
Yes, it is public radio.
Coffee and donuts.
But maybe they're either they could be intoxicated on some kind of fair trade shade grown coffee, which is, can be very intoxicating. You know, it's been strained through unbleached filters by babies, by tiny babies who've only ever eaten organic food that was made by their mothers in a mortar and pestle, and that's its own kind of intoxication.
Hey, you hit that right on the head. There's nothing you said there that was wrong. But you know, I was thinking of these humiliations. You know, did you read the Bedwetter, Sarah Silverman's book?
The Bedwetter. No, I haven't read the Bedwetter. Yeah. Although I've just seen her wet the bed live, which is much more interesting. Yeah.
But you know, because she said that the reason she got into comedy was the fact that she was a bedwetter. Because you know, sort of the ultimate humiliation for a kid or something to be a bedwetter.
Yeah. And so that sort of became I'm 6 feet tall, and I've been this tall since like preschool. And I was also the only black kid in my school, and the only poor kid. My parents scraped and saved, and I'm sure sold blood, maybe a part of a liver, to send me to private school. And so I was the only black kid, the only poor kid. I was extraordinarily tall. My parents didn't believe in television, and they were vegetarians. So I had all of the factors to be super popular. And what I realized now, looking back, it was just this kind of extended period of abject misery. But what I realized was that I became a comedian because when I was a kid, I would make fun of myself. I realized I'm going to make fun of myself faster and better than you could ever possibly do, with longer words and more complexity. Maybe I'm not going to be able to dance around myself in a circle holding hands. That's just physically impossible. But every other part of the mockery, I can handle on my own. And so that was probably where my comedic voice came from, was just, you know, self-deprecation was a defense mechanism. There's just nothing. First of all, during Black History, I was the only black kid in my school. So during Black History Month, I was the exhibit. They were like, here we have the Negro in her natural habitat, and she's going to tell us all about her people, and then we're going to touch her hair. But I was also a vegetarian, and I talk about this in the book, a big bonding activity for kids is, you know, you exchange lunches, and nobody wants a brick of tofu. It is literally impossible to unload on the schoolyard. You cannot pay someone else to take your food from you when you have an avocado sandwich and a whole wheat fig Newton that's the size of a preteen's hand. So I was just a beggar. I was literally resorting to beggary in grade school, where it was just like, please, sir, may I have some more? I'll literally eat the crust of your bologna sandwich and just kind of let, not the actual bologna, but the aroma of bologna, because I know bologna touched the crust. Let that wash over me. So all of that added up to
what you are today.
To what I
to
am
all,
today.
All that you are. how did all that play at Dartmouth, though? That's kind of a serious school, isn't it, Dartmouth?
School? Well, I was really bookish. That was the side effect of being a social pariah, I'll pour all my energy into learning stuff, thank you.
Yeah.
I was also one of those weird kids who would go to the library for fun on a weekend. She's destined for greatness or maybe for social isolation. And I would study a pathology book. That was my favorite thing to look at, was pathology books. Oh, yeah, good times. Goiters are always a good time. I mean, you can never get enough goiters. So, and I would just, an inveterate reader. And then when I went to Dartmouth, it was quite a serious school. I was going to be an attorney, I thought. Oh. And then I realized that attorneys are not fun people to be around.
Right.
So, and you can't drink at work, and I can now with my comedy. But I married it. My husband became an attorney, which was plenty for one house. And, you know, someone's got to win all the arguments, so I give those up to him. But
in the science exhibit picture that's on the book cover, on the inner leaf.
Oh, that was me in the eighth grade.
In the eighth grade. What is your exhibit? I'm trying hard to see what
it was. Such a layup. I mean, it was the laziest science ever. Yeah. You know, I was a very studious kid. But I will say that I occasionally got casual. So in the eighth grade, I spent a year in public school, and I was a little bit ahead of everybody. And so I came up with the worst laziest. I mean, anybody who's either got a kid doing science or remembers this from grade school. I did whether artificial light or natural sunlight produced, which was more effective in producing photosynthesis and plant growth. I mean, it's just the lazy. I just got like a light bulb and I opened the window. I mean, you know, and then I put my feet up and you know, read The Hobbit for the 17th time. I mean, what a lazy bastard. Yeah, but I did win.
Okay, but you got a red ribbon on it, though, I see.
I did. I've got a ribbon there. If you notice, I've also got glasses that can both see into the future and burn ants with the rays of the sun, and a beautiful Casio watch, because if I had hoped to fit in, that was just a guarantee that I would not. But I could calculate some things for you, some small, simple calculations on my wrist.
Do you still have
the precursor of my obsession with my iPhone? You can see it in that picture.
Yeah. Do you still have the dress? Pictured here.
Oh, that dress. No, that dress has been burned. Yeah. That dress has been burned, and then I
and that was a ploy.
I urinated it, and then I flung it to the street.
You what?
Yeah, there's a picture for people who are listening in the book of me wearing them.
It's a remarkable dress.
It's unacceptable. It's an unacceptable dress. This was a period of time when I blame the chapter is all about how I blame Jennifer Lopez for this really dark nadir in our fashion history in America, where she wore that plunging dress and everybody lost their minds. People were running into traffic and puppies and kittens were making out. Everybody just went crazy. And so every stylist was thinking that they needed their client to have some kind of splashy dress on the carpet. So my stylist picked this dress for me. It is barely a dress. It's more of kind of an abstract concept with straps. And it's so offensive. I would literally, if I could go back in time, I would punch myself in the face for wearing that dress.
Yeah, I bet you would.
I would do it. I would go up and I would slap myself and then I would put myself into rehab for poor choices.
Yeah. But that was a ploy. Wasn't that a ploy to get, because you were on a red carpet.
I was on a red carpet. A lot of people took a picture of it. Much in the way that a lot of people might take pictures of a two-headed dog just an oddity. And unfortunately, as we all have hopefully realized by this point in our lives, the internet is forever. So long after this civilization and all the ones to follow have risen and fallen, and the world is covered in vegetation and pools of water, and cockroaches log in to the internet using their iPhone 273, there will be a picture of that dress on the internet. It will never die. I cannot
give you some idea of what we're talking about here.
It's upsetting.
It was
very
effective from a...
Oh, it's amazing my mother has lived through seeing that with her own eyes.
Yeah.
Because
right.
I think that could be enough to give a mother palpitations. It's the worst.
But a red carpet thing, I mean, that's at that point in your career, it's sort of important to draw some attention, no matter what
sort. Yeah. That was the thinking. That was the thinking. It always makes sense at the time, doesn't it? When you wake up in the morning and your head's pounding and you're in a car trunk, you think, well, maybe it doesn't make sense. But the night before, when you got into the car trunk, it seemed to make perfect sense. Cozy, warm, right? Yes, enclosed.
And for people who want to do stand-up or comedian, you actually give some interesting instructions here. Not instructions so much, but as what to expect, I guess. Because there are people who want to go out there, and once again, they're afraid of flopping. And the answer is, you will flop, right? No matter what you do.
Yes. Oh, I love when people ask. One of my favorite questions when I do interviews is when people say, "So have you ever bombed?" Which I think is hilarious, like, akin to, "Have you ever had a glass of water or engaged in this thing called sleep?" Thousands of times, innumerable times.
Yeah.
You literally cannot become a funny person without bombing, because killing doesn't make you funny. When you have a great set, you just go, you drop the mic and, you know, go buy everybody shots and, you know, fall asleep clutching yourself if affectionately. But when you bomb, that's when you go back and you reexamine every single life choice you've made up until that point. And try to get better, you know, and realize I've got to do more. I've got to write. I've got to. And so bombing is what makes you mentally tough. It's what makes you creatively tough. It makes you fearless. And so, you know, early in your career, you know, you get up and you get a laugh or two and you think you're, you know, next coming of Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy, which every comedian thinks they are. Every single comedian thinks, oh, Richard Pryor, that mean I'm going to be the next Richard Pryor. Here it comes. And then you just spend the next 5 to 10 years of your life just pretty much in various states of suckage. And it's bewildering, and it really does weed out the, you know, the wheat from the chaff, and and or maybe the mentally healthy people from the people addicted to self abuse, because you just have to plow through that for years, and you'll have, you know, you'll have moments of transcendence, and then periods of just abject humiliation that you've chosen for yourself, but it, there's just no way around it. It's like being an athlete; you just have to keep getting out on the track, and you have to keep running. And then you slowly get faster, and then you get on the track at the Olympics, and then Usain Bolt smokes the crap out of you and crushes your dreams. But you're still fast. You're just not fast enough.
So, and then if you, finally, though, you get to the point where you can actually do corporate stand-up, right?
Oh, the corporate.
The height of everything?
So I have a chapter in the book about why I'll never do another corporate gig, which I say to myself every time I do a corporate gig, and then I forget immediately when I take another corporate gig. But that was really engendered by a very specific corporate gig I did in Atlanta for a very large big box corporation. Mm-hmm. And it was like, have you ever seen a movie where all of a sudden the main character has this moment where they look up and there's like a ringing in their ears and everything is silent? And things have gone down to slow motion, and there's this kind of like film of surreality over. That's the feeling I get every time I walk out onto stage in front of people, and it's 9:15 in the morning, and they're eating, you know, some kind of terrible Danish that's come from the bowels of a giant hotel, and they don't want to be there, and they don't know who you are, and they've just had a weekend of being pummeled by their higher-ups, and maybe like the HR person's next to them, so they're not going to laugh at anything, because they're surely to garner some kind of HR seminar later about what's appropriate and harassment and sexual innuendo. So I literally cannot tell any jokes. So it just becomes this kind of long-form spoken word piece where I try to skirt around anything interesting or provocative, and we're all just with our eyes on the clock, just literally. It's like a scene from Risky Business where the clock is ticking, and then it actually ticks backwards, and then I cry out and fall to my knees like Willem Dafoe at the end of Full Metal Jacket. I mean, I can't bear them. They're misery. And no one ever left because they're afraid the boss is going to think that they're human beings who have feelings and ideas.
Yeah.
So there's no laughter. Also, people must be drunk.
Yeah.
People must be drunk for comedy to work. I forgot to put that out there. I should have led with that. I buried my lead.
It helps.
Mm. It really does. I always tell people, we'll all like each other a lot better when you are intoxicated. So if you could just move a little quicker with the shots, it would be good for everyone here.
But you know, Woody Allen also in that same movie says something, which I think he believed, that he hated performing in front of people who are stoned, you know, on a college campus, because that's a cheap, it's a they'd be laughing anyway, you know. So he didn't,
oh, absolutely.
Didn't earn
Why
a laugh.
Not?
But
yeah, I get it. Well, you know, he likes to suffer.
Yeah.
I prefer to kill. No, I mean, the main thing, the main requirement, I think, for comedy is that people are excited to be there, and people are never excited to be at a corporate retreat.
No.
I mean, that's this is not excitement. It's just something you tolerate, unless you're hooking up with, you know, you're one of your coworkers, and then there's this kind of penny taste of shame in your mouth because you didn't pick up your phone the night before when your family members called you. But generally, no one wants to be at a corporate retreat. They don't want to be watching comedy. They want everything to be over. But in a club, people are excited to be there. They're all facing forward. I mean, your audience comes. They are coming to see you. They're so excited about what do you know. They love the show. So they're ready to be delighted. I mean, you still have to delight them. They're a tough crowd. You guys know you're a tough crowd in there. Right?
Yeah.
You parse every joke. Oh, you listen. You think about it. You do like a diagram in your head. This seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is this farce? I don't know. Did that really happen?
Yeah.
And then you respond. But
God, you know, I did a Kotex thing one time. I mean, it was.
Did you?
The
God,
people, it was a,
no.
Yeah, it was a Kotex corporate thing. Or the people who made Kotex, you know, the company.
Oh, no, it was just.
And you know what I did? I cut up their product. I made a male Kotex. I cut it into like
That's
a jock strap, so I brought that.
And
things like that.
And
held
sure,
it up.
First
and
of all,
I
you
held
have
it
an
up.
Extraordinary initiative. I love that. I already love what
oh,
you did.
Oh, it was a terrible idea. And it just sat there. I mean, the guy who invented the sanitary pad was there or something. And I thought that was, I didn't get a single laugh at all. It was horrible.
Mr. Kotex was there?
Well, the people, you know, the scientists
and
behind it.
And here's the thing, right? There's just no way they can laugh at their own product. People in corporate settings never have a sense of humor. They're too worried that they're going to get a write-up in their file.
Yeah. That was my last corporate gig, and that was some years ago. So.
I had to tell you something. From one comedian to another, that I would have taken the Kotex gig just for the story, just so I could say, I could run to my friends and go, oh, my God, I did a Kotex gig. It was literally like being on my period. That's what it felt like.
That's what I should have said. I didn't. If I would have been Aisha Tyler, I would have said it. Thank you so much, Aisha. It's been great talking with you. It's a pleasure and
God,
an honor.
What a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And all those things.
What a thrill. I listen to you every week. How exciting to be speaking to you.
Sweet of
yes.
you. If you don't get enough of Aisha Tyler, you can get the book as well, because she's everywhere, but you might want to read about it too. Self-Inflicted Wounds is the book. Thank you, Aisha.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Thanks
great,
for
great
having
talking
me.
To you. Aisha Tyler. Okay. Food for thought.
We did another corporate gig after the...
Which one was that?
Well, we went to Arizona that time. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
TRW, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Gears guys.
Yeah. That wasn't great either. It was okay.
No,
it
hard to do Gears. They made Gears and stuff. But then they were also in financing.
Yeah.
So it was hard to bridge that gap in terms of humor. And it didn't make any difference anyway. They didn't care. All right. Still, corporate gigs are out. Are you doing pretty good there?
Yes. I'd forgotten that one.
Yeah.
Because I think I was there, too.
Yes.
You drug me along. Yeah.
Okay, anyhow, then. What you got for us here, a little surprise?
This is called Last Time I Saw Paris.
Oh, yes. Remember it well.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Hey there. Well, we're at that special moment now, that time where you... Did some of you come here to play the quiz? Nobody, huh? That's too bad. Maybe go next door. I guess there's some kind of symposium going on. Maybe they'd like to try the What Do You Know quiz. Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do, though. We'll give you a chance to think about it for a moment. Right now, we'd like to know who can and cannot participate in the What Do You Know quiz. This gentleman here is joining us right now to do that. You are?
Mike.
You are Mike. I am Mike.
We're good.
We good together. And you want to do the honors?
Okay. I've got bifocals. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Personally, I enjoy a good stop and frisk. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Nice job. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try that hand or hands at the What Do You Know quiz. This gentleman right here seems somewhat enthusiastic. Come on down here. I'll meet you this aisle here. We'll find out if you qualify. No one has never qualified, but it's a possibility. It could happen. And you are?
Brian.
Brian, you're from around here, Brian?
Madison, yep.
Yeah. What do you do for Wavelength?
I'm a middle school band director.
Oh, you're the band director.
One of, yep.
Do we have more than one here?
Oh, my wife.
Your wife is a band director, too?
Yes, we're both band directors.
Did you meet while directing bands?
In college?
Yeah.
Yeah, here at the university.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I'm kind of a middle school band director.
What a good reason. Come on down here. You qualify. All right. Okay. Have a seat there. Yeah, make yourself at home there. That's your water. That's perfectly fine.
It's complimentary.
Oh, yeah. For your enjoyment, everything here. Okay. I'm going to need a full name for you for tax purposes.
Brian Vanderblumen.
Oh, I'll just take the Brian. Yeah. Brian V. We'll go
Brian V,
okay.
Sure.
That's good.
I get that a lot.
All right. Band director. So you're on the summer break. Do you do band camp or something like
we
that?
We do summer lessons for the beginners. Uh-huh. Like little sixth graders that are just getting started. We just did 2 weeks of that.
Yeah. And do you still start them out on the saxette?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we start them on all the real instruments. Yeah.
Yeah, the real deal?
Yeah, the real deal.
What's the most popular instrument?
Oh, the saxophone, percussion. The kids like to be drummers. I notice you guys don't have a drummer here.
We can't afford it.
Sixth graders should see that because we got a lot of them that want to be drummers. And
yeah. Drummer is number one, would you say?
Well, they really like it. They think it's going to be really
easy.
They're really going to get a lot of attention that way, I think.
Plus, it's going to be, how hard can it be? Right? But it's surprisingly hard.
Very, very, very hard.
From your first paradiddle.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, I took one lesson. and then we rented the drum from the drugstore near our house there, and I got a snare drum. And it was the first time I played other than on a pad, and I could not stand the noise. And I got rid of it. I said, I'm not doing this. It's really noisy.
We get that from parents a lot. Yeah,
yeah, this is from me, from the kid trying to do it. I was not made for the drums. Yeah. Do you think everyone has some kind of musical talent? Every kid, should at least try? Or?
Well, we try to encourage our kids to try because, in sixth grade, you don't know who you're going to be yet.
Yeah.
And so you should try a little bit of everything.
And it's a good thing, isn't it,
It expands your possibilities.
Yeah. It's like sports, too, I think. You always can you make the team or stuff? But everyone should play, they should have teams for everybody.
Absolutely.
Where you can all play and get some feeling. Yeah.
And not everybody's got to be a professional.
Right.
Sometimes you do it and enjoy it, and we find it's a break from the day.
Yeah. Is it hard to get a lead tuba?
No, we've been lucky. We get a lot of goodness.
Got tuba.
A wide range. Sometimes we have a tiny little guy that wants to play tuba, and sometimes it's a big dude.
Yeah. Cool.
And girls, too.
Cool. Where does all this take place, by the way?
In McFarland.
In McFarland?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I
teach. They have a very good band program, don't they, McFarland?
We like to think it's okay.
I hear that it's widely respected.
Well, thank you.
And your name comes up.
I'd be surprised.
Well, I think it would. And is your wife at the same place?
No, she teaches in a different city, Middleton.
In Middleton. Nearby, I hear that's a very widely respected band program in Middleton. Isn't that amazing? Two widely respected band directors would marry.
We would not want to brag, but
yeah, and that's what brought you together. You say?
Well, in college, yeah.
Yeah.
Sat across from each other in the band and thought, hey,
really? What was she playing?
A clarinet.
And you were
saxophone.
Okay, that was bound to happen, wasn't it?
Sure. Yeah.
Few jokes about embouchure,
well,
and so forth, so on,
and then some,
and a little reed thing here and there. Yeah. I know you. Come on, well, got to say, so not too. You don't go too far with that.
But don't want to give away all the secrets.
No, okay. All right, well, that's cool. That's cool. Wait, and was it with love at first, embouchure?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it?
I'd say. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Very cool. That was that here?
Here in Madison, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about that? Were you in the marching band all that
day? No, I didn't do marching band. It's marching. Really hard.
It's a lot
of work.
I can hardly walk and scratch my head at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very time demanding, that group.
Yeah.
They have a lot of fun, though, that's
they
for sure.
They have a lot of fun. I got the band book one time. Someone loaned me, said the real lyrics that the band uses, for all these songs, it's totally obscene, of course.
It's
and it's forbidden. It's a forbidden book. It's like you're not supposed to have this or know about it or.
It's like a Fight Club. You don't talk about.
Yeah, no.
You don't
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I mentioned it now. And forget.
Well,
I
wasn't
that.
In the band, so it's okay.
There's, yeah, no,
nobody's
I know.
Gonna come
but
and
I,
get me. Or
I feel bad. But you got it back. So I didn't keep it. Brian, someone out there plays along with you. You know how the quiz works.
Yeah, I've heard it on the radio.
Okay. No, it's not on the radio yet. Oh, I'm excited
heard.
About that. Okay. It's a general knowledge kind of quiz there, right, Sarah?
Yep. And if people want to play, they pick up their phones and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Huh? Oh,
yep.
I do, yes, of course.
They're,
I was just thinking that myself.
They're all in there somewhere.
All right, male swimmers in Denmark's Baltic waters have been issued a warning to swim with their pants on. The question is, why? What? What? Pardon me? I'm sorry. Were you talking to him or are you talking to me? That's the question for them. Okay, so how do they call in to answer this question about what's going on with swimmers in Denmark? There?
They dial 1-800-942-5669.
Or they can sit here and find out the real story. If you want to know about that, Diane's on the line from Keele, Wisconsin. Hey, Diane.
Hey.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Are you out driving around, or what are you doing?
Yep, we're out driving around. We're off to the Apple Store to take a sick computer in.
Oh, to the Apple Store. I thought you meant like the orchard.
Oh, I wish.
Oh, yeah. Diane, why do they have to wear their pants while swimming in Denmark?
Well, there's a fish that has teeth, and the fish eats like nuts and various things. And
okay. All right, I think that covers it really well without getting too graphic, unlike some people I know. All right, Diane, can you qualify for the quiz? Can you pull over or something? Because I worry about you driving and doing this. Because I don't believe in multitasking. I'm a semi-tasker.
Yep, no problem.
Can you do that? Can you park safely?
Are you? I can. Yep.
Okay. Are you on the road or the highway or side of the road?
We are parked. So we're set.
Okay, you didn't park in the lane, right?
You didn't stop in the lane.
Don't stop in the lane, put your flashers on. Some people do that. It's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
You're clearly off the road?
Clearly off the road.
Okay, Diane, this is Brian.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Brian.
Okay, and you're our team now with that. And so the two of you work as a team. You collaborate on all the answers, okay?
All right, we can do that.
Okay, we can do that. And we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Diane, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's see. I'm a teacher at a well-respected school, and he's a teacher. Maybe we should do the school one.
School? Okay. It's a well-respected category. How long did it take for the first atoms to form after the Big Bang? First atoms forming after the Big Bang, how long did that take? Was it 1.8 billion years, 100 million years, or 3 minutes? First atom formation after Big Bang.
Well, it seems like it would have been pretty quick, but I'm no scientist.
Pretty like three minutes quick?
Well, what do you think, Diane? 3 minutes? That seems
more. Or 100 million years
quick. Or is it 100 million years
quick?
My first instinct was the 3 minute one.
3 minute. Like an egg. Interesting. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Soft boiled egg and the first atoms.
Sure. I think 3 minutes.
3 minutes is right. Yes. Hey. Congratulations. Good start. All right.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Diane, where is your well respected school?
In Finalac. I teach at St. Mary Springs Academy.
St. Mary's Academy?
Yep.
All right, St. Mary's Academy, ladies and gentlemen. On the left. Let's hear it for them. All right, we have categories remaining, don't we?
Yep, current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Brian?
Let's take a chance on odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay, the stroke used by apes when swimming. Is it the dog paddle, the breaststroke, or the butterfly?
Apes?
Swimming apes.
Oh. I've never seen an ape swim.
Nevertheless, Brian, the stroke favored by apes when swimming. Is it the dog paddle, the breaststroke, or the butterfly?
I would guess dog paddle.
Diane, you want to weigh in on this?
Oh.
This sounds like a good guess. I have no idea.
Dog paddle?
We'll try. Dog paddle.
No, I'm sorry. It's the breaststroke. They do a very sweet little breaststroke. I'm sorry. I probably should have gave that to you somehow.
Well,
but I didn't. So that would be
one right and one.
Okay.
And the categories that are left are current events, people, places, or science.
Are those the categories that are left?
Correct.
Okay, Diane, would you like one of those?
Science.
What are we getting in the background of your phone there?
It's the radio.
My husband, I have the window down, handing the computer out to him, and it's all the background noise at Bayshore Mall.
Okay. A lot going on at Bayshore Mall. If you want to get out there real quick, people, you can pick up on some of that. I'm sorry, what did you say, Diane? What would you like?
Science, please.
Science. Okay, science. When neutron stars collide, you get one of the following. Is it gold, a black hole, or neutronade?
I think he made up the last one.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think
there is such a thing as neutron age. I think, okay, let's eliminate it then. So is it gold or you get a black hole? or gold?
Oh, gosh. What do you think, Brian?
What do you say? Neutron stars?
Neutron stars. Neutron stars are stars that are collapsed stars, I believe.
I think that's a black hole.
And so you can either get a black hole or gold. It should be unexpected.
What do you think,
Gold
Diane?
Would be unexpected. Yeah. I've been binge-watching Gold Rush on Netflix. So I'm leaning towards the gold.
She's leaning towards gold. Unexpected. I'll
go with that.
Yes, gold actually forms by the collision of neutron stars. That's why it's so expensive.
That's two right and one wrong.
All right, this is it. What's left there?
Current events, people, or places?
Current events, people, places.
Let's try people.
Brian, people. Okay. Least likely to retire. Is it wealthy people, poor people, or Republican presidential hopefuls? Least likely to retire.
Well, I think wealthy people often get that way by working hard. So I'm gonna. I think wealthy people.
Think wealthy people.
At least likely to retire.
Diane, what do you think?
I agree.
Yes, wealthy people. Holy cow! We did it.
Yay.
And presidential hopefuls.
Brian, you and a guest will be headed to Madison's historic Majestic Theater August 25th for a performance by The English Beat. You might even hear Dave Wakeling take a stand against global warming with a great dance beat.
Wow.
Diane, wake up every day like the What Do You Know audience does with Steep & Brew's hearty breakfast blend and soothe away afternoon cares with rich and satisfying Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Steep & Brew coffee. That's coffee done right. And each of you will clean up real good with a bar of What Do You Smell soap, redolent of sweet Wisconsin clover, pink clay, and sharp cheddar from Mississippi's Screaming Porch Gift Company, and gain immeasurable wisdom reading What Do You Know. Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you, thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thanks very much.
Diane, hang on the phone just a second. Make sure you get all that stuff.
Cool.
Thanks for playing.
Come witness the wonder of live radio in the making. Tickets and schedule information for What Do You Know broadcasts are available at notmuch.com. And while you're there, you can keep the What Do You Know fun going throughout the week. Join our Facebook family, enjoy Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's our town of the week. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says, the mini marathon's a good start, but he'll wait for the micro. It's Michael Feldman.
Yeah, yeah. Okay there. So then, you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. Just to prove we have actual listeners.
That's right.
It's thanks for the memos. That's right. And this one here is, he's anonymous, of course, sent this in. We don't want to get anyone in trouble here. But he says, I work at an amusement park, a very well-known amusement park. Be very upsetting if you actually knew the name of this amusement park. But anyhow, you can't know that. It was sent out to the entire team from our environmental services manager, whatever that would be. I don't know what environmental services is, but it can't be good. And here is the memo as it read. Sorry for this message, but for the third time in 2 weeks, a urinal was pooped in our park restrooms. It almost has to be an employee because I can't imagine a guest having done it on 3 different visits in the last 2 weeks. What can we do about it? Maybe each department needs to talk with their male staff about the situation and let them know the severity of the punishment if caught in the act. Well, just the humiliation, I think, would be enough, don't you, if actually caught in the act. Ask for help from the staff in case the person doing it is bragging about it. It needs to stop. Not a pleasant sight for our guests, not a pleasant task for my staff who clean up. Your help will be greatly appreciated. Just put yourself in the place of my staff and maybe we will get this to cease. I've asked that security make it a habit of stopping in the restrooms as they do their rounds. And what are they doing on their rounds really becomes the question. Along with my detail staff, who check them on a regular basis throughout the day. Any male management could do the same thing. Maybe the culprit will see the extended presence of personnel and not take the chance of getting caught. Maybe. Thank you very much for that memo. An actual memo from an actual environmental services dude somewhere. And where can they...
They can send those they can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay. And what about if the guy wants to turn himself into us?
He could show up at 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Care of What Do You Know? Thanks right. for the memos.
And the men's room is on the 7th floor there. You have to go through the double doors.
That's right. You got to go through the double doors.
Yeah. And then what about Twitter? A lot of people are into Twitter now, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can follow us. It's at What Do You Know. It's at WYK.
No, don't follow What Do You Know. What about following me?
Oh, you. Oh, yeah. Your Twitter handle's at My Feldman.
Yeah. Forget about
all
us.
All lowercase. At My Feldman.
At My Feldman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. You do that, too, and see all those things. And speaking of you.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah,
each week
of me.
At this time, or usually not, and some weeks not, but this week it is for sure, we honor a town, village, or burg across the U.S. on a rearranged map of the same. Here with Town of the Week is Sarah Nix.
About 90 miles northeast of Atlanta, nestled in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains, you'll find our town of the week, Toccoa, Georgia. The town gets its name from the Cherokee word for beautiful. Surrounded by state parks and national forests, Toccoa is beautiful indeed. There's a landmark waterfall in Toccoa that's higher even than Niagara. The original inhabitants of the area were Cherokee, Creek, and Catawba people. European settlers moved in after the Revolutionary War. The Native American people were forced out on the infamous Trail of Tears in the late 1830s when more settlers moved in. The rugged landscape made farming tough in Toccoa. The local economy grew on the power of its rivers, with cotton mills and furniture manufacturing moving in. The railroad roared through in 1873, and these days Toccoa is still busy in manufacturing, everything from construction vehicle components to sewing supplies. During the Second World War, there was a U.S. Army camp in Toccoa where the first paratroopers trained. Many of the men who learned how to parachute there went on to take part in D-Day.
Toccoa is a medium-sized town these days with a population of about 10,000. For visitors and locals, there's a symphony orchestra, a handful of museums, and at least three big festivals a year. There's also lots of hunting and fishing. And if you're looking for some local sports, you can check out the Toccoa Falls College Eagles. That's our town of the week, Toccoa, Georgia.
Sounds very nice. Sounds idyllic.
It sounds kind of idyllic.
Yeah.
Small town life.
Now, on those three big festivals you mentioned, did you happen to...
Yep, there's the Currahee Arts Festival. There's
the what?
Currahee Arts Festival. Yep. There's the Taste of Toccoa Food Festival, which happens in the spring.
Oh.
And then there's the Harvest Festival, which presumably happens in the fall.
Presumably, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that first one you mentioned, is that a summer festival?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
What goes on at that, you know?
There are performing artists and also visual artists.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds great. That'd be a nice trip.
Yeah.
For that. We're calling randomly now, or Lyle is. There's Lyle there, but if you want to see behind the glass booth there.
Yeah.
You can keep him in a glass booth like Eichmann for some reason. And he's not nearly like Eichmann. He's much nicer than Eichmann ever was. But he's actually making calls there. And he's, by the way, you know, Lyle Anderson, he screens, when you call up, he screens your call, which means he puts everybody on. He's never actually told anyone they could not be on the air, which I think is a sweet.
And always that guy who calls in over and over.
Yeah,
he always gets on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's like top of the list.
This might be him on this, if you find someone out. Uh-huh. And we have someone, actually, Cynthia Brown from Toccoa. That's right, Toccoa.
Toccoa, you got it,
right?
Yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. Georgia. Let's go on the phone right now and say hello to her. Hi, Cynthia, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Did you happen to hear our Tom of the Week from Sarah Nix?
I heard most of it, and it pretty well describes the place where I live.
Yeah, and are you a native of Toccoa? Did you grow up there? Or?
I did, and moved away and was away for about 15 years, and this is my third time back to home, and I'm not leaving again.
Your third time back. What is it that keeps drawing you back, Cynthia?
Well, family, obviously, but more importantly, the quality of life here. Mm-hmm. I won't say it's a slower pace because I'm busier now than I've ever been doing my job and volunteer work, but there's something about being able to invest of yourself in that place that supported you growing up and helped to raise you.
Oh, how nice. What sort of volunteer work do you do?
I am working as a volunteer and have been for a long time with the Stevens County Historical Society.
Oh.
I am working with a new group to preserve and expand the facilities at the old Camp Toccoa site, and that's called Camp Toccoa at Currahee Project.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a group of volunteers that are called loosely a land use committee, and we're working on some regulations for the community as we look toward the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just church work and all kinds of things that need to be done here, and we're able to plug in and do that.
You're highly involved.
Yes, sir. I certainly am, and I'm proud of my hometown. But I'm realistic and know that we have a lot of work to do, but we welcome folks to come and join.
Excellent. Sounds excellent. And how lucky the Historical Society. So can you tell us a little bit about Tom? Maybe that wasn't included in what Sarah said there, some background on the history in Toccoa? Or?
Well, I can tell you that we have a lot of people here who have contributed over the years to make us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the settlers came, and we have such a rich heritage in the Cherokee tradition. We have a project called the Tougaloo Corridor that there's a heritage education center on some property that we worked on years ago and were able to obtain. And we have a lot of people, Tommy Scott, he's the last medicine show man. He's in his 90s now, but he's still alive and well, and he is celebrated at the museum. We had.
Did you say medicine show?
Yes, it was a medicine show.
Yeah.
We have his wagon, and he's still here, and still does a lot of work with that project.
Yeah. What does a medicine show? Does it actually sell medicines?
Well, yes.
What is that? What they did?
It's snake oil.
Oh, it's snake oil.
Well,
guys.
He's in his 90s. What do you? I mean, obviously, it works.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah.
When I get to be 90, I'm going to try it. No,
yeah.
We do have snake oil available there at the museum.
What's his brand? The Tommy Scott. Is it called Tommy Scott's snake oil, or is it?
I, I, believe that it's the medicine. I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that.
Because you don't want to get the wrong brand when you're going for a snake.
Certainly not. But you can buy the authentic brand at the museum, so you don't have to worry once you get there. We only have one. We have the exclusive rights to sell it there.
Yeah. What is it? Let me ask you this, though. What is it actually good for, snake oil?
Everything.
Whatever ails you?
Every ailment, rheumatism, arthritis. I've read the label. I don't suffer from any of those things yet, so I haven't tried it.
Yeah. Temporary insanity, does it work for that? Because I get a little of that sometimes.
Well, you know, that might be the thing that I need to look at. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably the alcohol in it would help as far as that goes. Well, excellent. Okay. And Tommy's still around. That's great.
He is.
And what else?
Well, there are lots of other things, but one of the, what's the Camp Tocoa, once it was no longer a paratrooper training center,
right.
It became a detention center. And James Brown, the famous singer, came to Tocoa to reside there for a short period of time. And once he got out of the detention center, he was employed in Tocoa, Georgia, and did his first public appearances there.
After that. I seem to remember that incident.
Yes.
That was the crazy man with the shotgun and the pickup truck or something. Was that incident?
No, we're talking about James Brown, the singer.
Yeah, I know, but I think that's why he ended up in the center, though, wasn't it? Some sort of little...
Oh, well, I'm not sure. Now, yeah. I don't know what the details were. I just know that he was part of our environment here, and the famous flames came out of Tocoa, and we have Ida Prather Cox, who was the toast of Paris in the 20s, grew up in Tocoa, and... Hmm. You know, it's amazing what you have in a small town when you stop and look around.
Yeah, and do you have many of the same, some of the older structures and buildings and so forth that they survive?
We do. Our downtown is a wonderful place to come, and as we speak, it is still being renovated, and it is an historic district, so it is authentic, and we're very proud of it.
Yeah. Now, behind the scenes, because you get a lot of tourists and so forth coming to your festivals and so on, but the locals probably know some pretty cool places that you don't really see tourists because they don't know about it. Is there one such place or spot or venue that you would take us if we came down there?
If you came to see me in Tocoa, Georgia, the first place I would take you would be to the top of Currie Mountain.
Ah.
From that point, you can see the area. It is the first mountain in the Appalachian Range, so it is right there. It was the mountain was the edge of the western frontier in 1783.
Huh.
And you can see so far from that, but it gives you the vista of the community,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of our history starts there, and then we would work our way around the community.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very rich heritage in handcrafted furniture. Habersham Plantation, which is now Habersham, started there in Tocoa, and we have three-day design. These furniture companies are worldwide now. They export all over the world, but they started there in the community, and we know that we have something special. You go to what used to be Prather Bridge, and beyond that, you go to Panther Creek, and the trout fishing there, the fly trout fishing is just incredible. Bass fishing, catfish, you name it. Lake Hartwell is a beautiful place, and there's nothing more beautiful than a sunset looking back over the trestle toward the North Carolina and South Carolina mountains there in Stevens County.
Sounds great.
It's a beautiful place.
You gave me goosebumps, Cynthia.
Well,
what am I going to do with these goosebumps
now? You come and make sure it's valid.
Yeah,
you
no, it sounds.
And see what's going on.
Very beautiful description. Cynthia, I want to thank you so much for speaking with us about our Town of the Week, Tocoa, Georgia. We have a little something for you for being so kind.
Yep, Cynthia will be sending you the best of America's Dairyland in an assortment of delicious cheeses made without artificial growth hormones or genetically modified ingredients from Cedar Grove Cheese, southwestern Wisconsin's cheesemaker since 1878.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia Brown, for our Town of the Week, Tocoa, Georgia. All right there. You want to handle this? Come on.
Okay.
This is your big chance to show what you can do.
Somebody's got to throw the dart.
Throw the dart. Yeah, here, you want to take the microphone here. You might need that at some point.
So it's your big chance.
You might need the dart too.
Oh, well,
the dart.
Okay.
Yeah, might need the dart.
Does anybody want to throw the dart? We've got a beautiful rearranged map of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Don't all jump up at once. Come on up then.
There you go. Yeah, okay. All right. He looks like a dart thrower.
Yeah. He's got the dart throwing t-shirt.
Yeah.
Tell me your name.
Aaron.
And you're from?
From Madison.
All right. Welcome. All right. Here. Throw the dart. Please don't hit Michael.
It's a little close there, Aaron. Why don't you close your eyes and make it
Don't fall off the stage.
Close your eyes and spin several times.
Good. All right.
Tocoa,
Maine,
Georgia.
No less.
Where is it?
Would you believe it's a place I used to live, Augusta, Maine.
Augusta, Maine.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. You're going to be great for that. Thank you very much. Our town of the week, once again, the boys in the band.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Let's see, that's interesting because people at home didn't get to hear that, though. But so actually, when you tell someone to go up in pitch on the bass.
Sure. Yeah, I have students. A lot of times they'll say, well, that sounds a little flat. Let's go up in pitch. And up in pitch means they have to go. Now I'm confused. They have to go down towards the ground to actually go up on the bass, if that makes sense. I'm confused now.
Now, to go up in pitch.
Yes.
Go up in pitch.
Here's the pitch.
Yeah. Now go up. No, but you're actually going down.
Yeah,
you're going down.
Yes. I'm going, my finger is moving down towards the ground.
But you're a great teacher, I can tell from that.
Thank you.
That's easy to understand. You're going towards the ground and you're going down, but you're actually going
up in pitch.
About that, Jeff Hammond, bassist. See, with the piano, you can't really explain. There's nothing they're going to learn easily on a piano.
No, not at all. No. You might as well give it up and just go to the drums.
Yeah, I don't want to think. I wasn't ignoring you, but it's complex, whereas he's got just a few strings to worry
about.
All you really need is big hands.
Well,
and he can play the bass.
Hands of stone.
Hands of stone.
That's what they call him. Jeff, hands of stone.
Hands
Hammond.
Of stone, balls of fury. Jeff Hammond. Do you know what a gallon nipper is? No. Is there a quarter nipper and a gallon nipper? I have no idea what I'm talking about. St. Paul, Nancy Reed Hendricks. A gallon nipper? Am I saying that right? What's the plural of that? Gallon nipperum? Nipperum.
Gallons nipper.
Gallons nipper?
Gallon nippers.
Gallon nippers. That makes more sense, actually. And no, what is that?
It's a mosquito. It's a very large mosquito. They have some in Florida now.
Okay. We have them here. I've seen some big ones. They have stripes on them. It might be a sparrow or something.
I don't think they're up here yet. We occasionally see some that are almost that big here. Yeah.
Are you in mosquitoes for a living?
Why, yes, I am.
What do you do with mosquitoes? You just like a circus act or something with mosquitoes?
No, we have other people in the organization that do that, though. Yeah, we have a mosquito suit that people march in parades with when we're in parades, and people cheer us and say, yay.
Are there mosquitoes in the suit?
No, there's a person who works for mosquito control.
Oh, and they do, like with bees, you know, those guys would have bees all over their face and something like that, and some guy does mosquitoes all over his face.
Ooh, we try not to do that.
That'd be cool if you weren't, you know, if you didn't have a problem with that.
Well, you might, there's a word, it's called exsanguination. It's when you lose so much blood that you pass out.
Yeah.
That might happen if you tried to do that with mosquitoes like they do with bees.
You wouldn't get that even from a large mosquito, though, would you? I mean,
it takes tons and tons of mosquitoes to drain that much blood out of you, yes.
Is that happen? Is that recorded where someone was bitten by so many mosquitoes simultaneously they passed out?
It happens to some wildlife in Alaska.
Oh, to wildlife.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yep. And actually, I think it's happened to some birds in Wisconsin, but that was from biting gnats, black flies, not mosquitoes.
Oh, the black flies. They can carry off a good-sized animal.
Oh, yeah. Well, this.
They work together.
Yes, yes. The small birds have a little trouble with that.
So you're in the, it says here, Metro Mosquito Control. So you're in St. Paul in the Metro Control District?
Yep. We cover the seven counties in the metropolitan area.
Yeah. You spray people's homes and stuff? Or what do you do?
Well, mostly we've got biological controls that we put in the water so we catch them when they're larvae before they come out as adults.
What about birth control for mosquitoes? Have you tried that approach?
Well,
planned mosquitohood, is that involved in that?
It's more like diet pills for mosquitoes. It's like stomach flu, only it's fatal.
Yeah. Well, I think with counseling, they could get over the need for blood. There must be other ways of raising a brood without actually drawing blood.
But there are some mosquitoes that eat so much when they're larvae in the water that they can actually lay some eggs without drawing blood.
That's what I'm saying. If we could encourage them and discourage the rest.
Yeah, yep, that would be good. But they kind of run out after a while, and then they start looking for more food.
Okay, so anyhow, a gallon nipper is one type of mosquito.
Yes, it's one type of mosquito.
And how many? Because I notice here, just in my backyard, I have some time on my hands occasionally. I notice that there are dozens of varieties of mosquitoes.
You're very observant. Yes,
there are little tiny ones, and there are little ones with stripes on them, and there are big, scary ones.
Oh yeah,
we might be hummingbirds.
We have over 50 kinds in Minnesota. I'm not quite sure how many species there are down here in Wisconsin.
Oh, but we have at least that.
Yep, yep. And there's some that come out just in the spring. There's some that will come out after every rain.
Yeah. Well, that's very nice to. This is more than I ever thought I'd learn about mosquitoes.
All right.
Thank you so much.
And
thank
you're welcome.
For all you do. Those darn mosquitoes. Those skeeters. And I'm told if you do not exhale, mosquitoes will not bother you. So that's what I try to do around them. I stop breathing. So that's a little tip. Is that effective?
Yeah.
Yes, very effective. Okay. Michael Faust, who's a painter here in Madison. He's 44 years old. I didn't remember asking, but that's fine. That's nothing. Why do I keep getting older while co-eds don't? Okay, well, that's... First of all, we don't say co-eds anymore because my daughters are going to school here. So let's just drop that whole thing. But I understand what you mean. Living in Madison is a horrible thing because you're the only one getting older. You know, it drives you crazy. I mean, it drove me crazy years ago, and it gets worse. It only gets worse. Now, where is Michael? Let's see how he's dealing with this. Michael Faust. 44, huh? That's nothing, man. You think that's old? Get up here a second. How are you? Pretty good?
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get that one read.
It's true, though, isn't it? Living in Madison is so, because it's all these people, and a lot of them look like people you knew in college some years ago, like 40, you know? I mean, it's getting out of hand. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I used to be one, and I don't know when I left the bubble, but I did. Yeah. Just being up on the campus lately, having to work now, I just noticed that I'm not part of that group anymore.
You noticed that? It just occurred to you recently.
Yeah, well... It didn't occur to me. It had to be explained.
That's all right. They tear up those letters after 5 or 10 years.
Thanks. Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Mike.
Good man. You're a good man. It's true, though. Isn't that true? Who else lives here in Madison? Isn't that true? I mean, it's like you feel like you're the only one aging. It's a very horrible, horrible, horrible feeling. Let's see. Do you want to see my tomato? You bet. I sure do, whatever it means. I'm hoping it's a metaphor. But if it's a tomato, that'd be fine, too, because I...
It's not a metaphor.
Not a metaphor? Oh, it's grotesque. Oh, it's just grotesque. Why would you... Do you carry that around with you? Or...
It's a goiter.
No, I just bought it at the farmer's market.
Sold that to you?
$6.
$6 for a deformed mega tomato? It's like a bunch of tomatoes all in one, and it's...
It's actually one tomato. I asked the gentleman who sold it to me. He said it's one tomato, and it grew this way. And it actually does look like about 8 tomatoes, maybe all together. Yeah. We're going to slice it up and have it at our picnic this afternoon.
Well, don't invite me, please. I mean, it's grotesque.
I'm sorry.
If I give you $6, will you throw it away? Or...
No.
Dumpster right out. And you are?
I'm Glenda.
Hi, Glenda. I'm not going to shake your hand. You've been touching the tomato. Glenda and her tomato. Glenda and her amazing tomato, ladies and gentlemen. And it's right, it's not a vegetable, it's a fruit, right? It's a grotesque fruit. Did I say it was a grotesque vegetable? Maui. Maui. I see Maui here. Where's Tisha? From Maui. Hi. Are you still in Maui, or are you visiting here? You're not in Maui anymore? I know you're in Wisconsin right now. I mean, I'm not totally dissociating. I guess you just stand up. It's a little easier. How are you?
Good.
Maui, you're from Maui?
I am from Maui.
You're born and grow up in Maui?
I grew up in Maui.
Why would you ever leave Maui?
Everybody asks me that question. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, can we talk through it or something? What is it? were you somehow had to leave Maui for some reason?
No. Came here for graduate school and stayed. Yeah.
And Wisconsin is sort of the Maui of the Midwest. But still, it's...
Love the winters. That's why I came here.
Hate those too, huh?
Hate those too.
What's your field then?
I do research administration at the UW.
What is that, though?
I get to put a stamp of approval on behalf of the Board of Regents to the funders that support research for the UW.
Ooh, that's pretty important then.
Yeah.
You're a good person to know if I was doing looking for funding for my research, right?
I'm not a good person, but you just have to be nice to me, yes.
Number one, I got to be nice to you, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Sure.
I wish I had some research. Anyone got some research here? About this? What about this tomato? I think if we find out what causes that kind of thing in tomatoes, that'd be worth funding.
That would probably be worth funding, yes.
Okay. Anything I can answer for you?
No, this is the first time I'm at your show. My friend Michelle brought me. She's a big fan. So it's good to see your show. I like it.
Perhaps you'll fund us.
Sure.
We're funding on some basis. Sociology. This is sociology. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Tisha from Maui. We have a singing psychotherapist. That's scary. Oh, that figures. I should have known that immediately. When I saw you, I should have thought, singing psychotherapist. Now, do you sing and you are a psychotherapist, or do you sing while being a psychotherapist?
It depends. No, actually, I sing and I am a psychotherapist.
But I mean, is it part of the therapy?
No. No, it's not. But I've been able to use a lot of the skills that I acquired being in show business as a therapist, believe it or not.
Song and dance? Someone lies on the couch?
Absolutely. If people are depressed, sometimes I tell them you have to get up and do the crazy dance in order to move out of their depression.
Oh, okay. So you're a Freudian. I used to do the crazy dance, as I recall.
Cocaine. I don't.
The ego, the id, and the crazy dance, as I remember that.
Right.
What sort of therapy is it that you do?
I actually have a practice down in the Chicago area, and
What brand is it? What genre?
I'm all over the place. Yes, I'm very eclectic because I don't think that there's a one size fits all type of therapy. It's whatever the client needs.
Cater to the client and bring out whatever they...
Because I don't have their answers. They have their answers.
That's what you tell them, right?
I know this for
you say your time is up, and then they have the money and they have the answers. No.
I tell them I'm an option giver and their inner voice will allow them to choose the option that's right for them.
Oh, I've heard that so often. I'm an option giver. I'm tired of option givers. No, that sounds like it's the way to go, I would think. And what sort of singing do you do?
Well, my very talented husband, Rich Mazel, and I actually had an event band since 1984. Yeah. And he's been lucky enough to do music and nothing else besides music all his life. And I'm the one that branched out differently. So
you branched out from him?
Well, yeah, because
at a certain point you got to branch out from your husband.
Actually,
no matter who he is, right. Rich Mizell, anybody.
Yeah. But I started actually singing in Milwaukee, so I'm a Wisconsin girl originally, and worked a lot of jazz.
Are you working in something now?
We just finished up at the Custer Street Fair in Evanston. Our band always does that.
Oh yeah. What was the hit of the fair there? What did you belt?
I do a lot of different things, but there I actually did some classic rock stuff. Janis Joplin, that kind of stuff.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Piece of my heart.
You
thing?
Know it.
Yeah. You guys know that?
No.
No.
Sorry.
Thank you. I know Rich from years ago. Back in the day. Okay, 6 wedding anniversary. That's not so bad yet. Michelle from Cedarburg. Are you there with? Oh, that's him. Okay, I thought you were here alone on your 6th anniversary. That would be sad then. Alone on your 6th anniversary, because it can only get worse from there. Wisconsin in life. Oh, okay, Wisconsin. If you're given life in Wisconsin, it's what, 25 years? Is that so? That's
good
how you're figuring.
Behavior.
Pardon me.
With good behavior, it's 25 years.
Okay, so if you get off with good behavior in your marriage, it's just 25 years.
Yeah.
I should be a free man. I serve my time.
Well, that's what I wanted to know. Is if life is a sentence, 25 years, and we've got 6 years in, does that mean in 19 years with good behavior?
Yeah,
we should be.
We got it done.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I think you should maybe just do 12, 13.
Oh, okay.
If your behavior is real good. I mean, this, you can't put up with this for long. Look at this guy. That's right. Yeah. 6 years.
6 have been short. Yeah. So shouldn't be any problem.
Yeah. This behavior.
Yeah. Was he your first, or is this the second or third?
Second.
Second, yeah.
Think they'll be 3?
It depends on if we make the 19.
Yeah, I know, but I can't put a number on it. He seems like a nice enough guy.
Yeah. First 6 have been pretty good.
Yeah. Where did you two meet?
Church.
In church, that hardly ever happens. Were you the preacher or the?
No. That's right. Yeah. Both involved in ministry and religious ed and things like that. So yeah.
Are you a minister though?
No.
A lay minister, perhaps.
That's correct.
Okay, no comment. And then that's good. And then and that's where you met. And then they started. Did you know it was him when you saw him?
Actually, I did. I was with someone else at the time, but when I met him, it was like, ooh, he was something special.
So you dumped him?
No, actually, it took about 10 years before we actually hooked up, and then.
Well, so he wasn't that special. He was special, but you can't.
I was still with the other person.
Yeah, he was special, too.
Well, not as much.
No, not as special. A
little less special.
Yeah.
Well,
so, that's very nice.
Yeah.
And your name is?
Michelle.
Michelle and?
Dennis.
Dennis, yes. Our couple of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle and Dennis. They were fated to be together. You win a very special prize for that.
That's right. Just in case you want to check the numbers on this 6th wedding anniversary, we'll send you home with Finding Your Perfect Soulmate or Business Partner. Learn more about yourself and others through the science of numbers. No?
No, give him some wine. What, are you crazy?
Okay.
Science of numbers.
You can celebrate.
Give him the wine.
Okay. You can celebrate your 6th wedding anniversary with award-winning wines from the Wollersheim Winery, makers of the Wine of the Year at the San Diego International Wine Competition.
There you go. Celebrate that. Yeah. Congratulations to you on the 6th. Get there. Is this for real? Going back to college with your daughter? Is that true? Because my daughter, just went back and moved into her first apartment now, Nora. And it's so traumatic. And I was joking, well, maybe I'll go back to school too, because I can audit courses now as a senior. maybe get a room here at this point. Yeah.
The great thing is, that's how you keep her close. You just tell her you're going to go to college too, and she doesn't have to leave.
Yeah. But they love that. They love it. If you say, I'm going to college with it, I mean, didn't your heart just leap?
So much so, yes.
So much so. It's still leaping. You can tell that. You can hear
that's why she's still sitting down there and I'm standing up over here.
Yeah.
But, the only question I had is how do we determine what we put on the door so we don't have a, like a do not disturb sign. Like back in the day, you know what I mean?
Oh, the shame. Oh, the eye rolling and the blushing.
Sock on the doorknob.
Sock on the door. No.
This is not going to be good. You've got to stop.
Transfer.
Can you transfer?
I already signed up for my classes yesterday.
Can you transfer? Because this.
No, I'm. That's why I asked. Should I just drop out? Because.
No, you can go there, but yeah, you're not going to room with her, are you?
Well, no, we're both in. We live at home. She lives at home with me. Okay. Yeah.
No, you need to get out then and get a place. Talk to me. You know, there's some really nice places around town. My daughter found a nice place. You love it.
I actually think living at home is the easiest option right now. It's cheap, and she does my laundry, so.
And she'll be in class most of the time. You'll be there alone. It's perfect.
Exactly, yeah. She's taking classes in the morning. And I take classes in the morning. She takes class at night, so I never have to see her.
Sounds perfect.
Isn't that a great opportunity?
And you are?
Lynn, and this is Katie.
Katie, how are you?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Congratulations. Nice. Best of luck to you
Thank
both.
You.
All right. There you go. Go back to school with your kids. All right, we're going to try another version of the What Do You Know quiz. Not that the first one wasn't good. It was great. But, for example, he didn't have a chance. Huh? Since he's the only one to raise his hand here? Okay, all right, fine. Come on down here. All right. Saves me the trouble. Save me the trouble. Wait a minute. Will you stand down hill of me, would you? Stand right. Okay.
All right.
How are you?
I'm fine.
You are?
John.
John?
Yes.
Everyone's using one name now. I don't understand. They used to give the second name, but that's okay. John, what do you do in life as we know it?
I do research at the university.
What sort of research do you do?
I work with yeast.
We got a great funding idea over here. What do you do with the yeast?
Oh, look at it. Hope maybe someday I'll figure out something about genetic diseases from it.
Cool. John, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Oh, because I'm standing up.
I don't know. It's not a good reason. It is a good reason. Spiritually or something. Philosophically. Yeah, come on here, John. Yep, kind of guy. All right, John. So yeast?
Yes.
What sort of yeast do you work with?
Oh, the kind you bake and brew with.
That kind?
Yeah, but I don't bake or brew with it, so that's less exciting.
Well, I mean, technically, what are they called?
Oh, Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
Yeah, but really, what are they called?
Oh, well, baker's yeast, really.
Okay. Yeast is a big thing that they use, right? They use fruit flies in one area, and yeast is a very big area of study.
Yeah, and the fruit flies eat the yeast.
There you go, see?
Yeah.
Symbiotic. Okay. Why do they use yeast? Why are we studying yeast so much?
Why? It does great things on its own. You can use it for biofuels, and it's a lot like people.
How so?
We have a lot of the same genes. Things work the same way.
Really? As yeast?
Yeah. Be surprised. A lot of genetic diseases you can study in yeast.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
What? John, stay out of this. What do you know about yeast?
What?
Yeast and humans are similar genetically?
Very similar, yes.
How many difference in the genes is there?
Well, humans have more genes. Yeast only have about 6,000, so humans have a lot more. Yeah. But they're very similar, the ones that they have.
How can that be? Yeah.
Well, we all evolved from the same thing way back in the day.
Okay, back in the day. Now you're talking about my childhood, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Hear that from kids a lot now. No kidding.
Yes.
So yeast are suffering the same ways that a human might suffer?
No, they don't have joints.
They don't? Okay, joints, that's a big advantage for the yeast then. One for the yeast?
Yeah,
yeast.
No arthritis.
Isn't that interesting?
No existential ennui.
Nope, none of that either.
On yeast. On yeast. On yeast. Okay, well, that's very interesting now. Have you always been in yeast?
About 10 years now.
Yeah.
So.
What did you do before yeast?
I started in yeast, so I've stuck with it since.
Started with yeast? Do you think you'll always stay in yeast or go on to something?
Oh, I wouldn't mind staying in yeast.
Bread or cheese or something like that?
Yeast and bread.
Yeah, I know. So. That's all I know about it, really. Okay, played my hand. Well, that's very great. And that's at the UW here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Okay. John, someone out there, you're overqualified for this quiz, by the way, so just tamp it down just a little bit.
All right.
Someone out there play along with you after we figure out how that works, don't we? Sarah?
Yeah. People who want to play along, they pick up their phones and dial 1-800-942-5669. That's also 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. And then you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay. What's all the hype about Hyperloop? Hyperloop has been in the news recently, or the Hyperloop. What's all the hype about? We want to know if you know that's the thing to tell us, right?
Yeah.
What's that number to call again?
The number is 1-800-942-5669.
Hyperloop. Go to the phones right now. Gail's on the line from Emporia, Kansas. Hey, Gail.
Hi.
How are you?
I am great.
Fantastic.
But I'm feeling really guilty about all the yeast I've killed in my life.
Yes. Well, we all have, really. You know, they've been useful, though. They haven't died in vain. Okay, that's the best I've done so far today, anyhow. So, Gail, what's all the hype about the Hyperloop?
Well, they want to send Californians 700 miles an hour down something called a Hyperloop.
Okay, which is basically a pneumatic tube like they used to have in gimbals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. Congratulations, Gail.
Yay!
All right, Gail.
I'm so excited.
Gail, John?
Hi.
Hi, John.
Okay, took a while, but... and Gail, what do you do these days?
I'm a paraeducator at Emporia Middle School. Go Junior Spartans.
Junior Spartans.
Yay! Yes.
Okay, so two of you work as a team now, Gail and John. We're not competing here. We're cooperating. And we have various categories, Sarah.
Yep.
Next.
And those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Gail, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Current events.
Current events. All right. What icon was desecrated at the Iowa State Fair?
Oh, my. John.
An icon.
I'm not sure.
Did you read about this? It was in the news everywhere. Isn't it? A very well-known, almost the symbol, I think, of the Iowa State Fair was desecrated. Desecrated. They cleaned it up, but it was
Could
desecrated.
Could it have been something?
I don't know.
Something like a giant ear of corn?
I like that.
No. I'm sorry. I guess you didn't hear about this. The butter cow.
Oh.
Yes, the People for Ethical Treatment of Butter Fat. Doused it in red paint or something. They cleaned it up or something, but it was desecrated. So that would be...
Oh, gross.
That's sadly zero right and one wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll get over that.
Let's rally, John.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There are categories left. They are people, places...
Are there?
Yep. Things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
John?
Ooh. Maybe I'll embarrass myself by missing a science question.
All right. See if we got yeast here. No. Breastfeeders. This has been widely studied, breastfeeding, by the way. And breastfeeders tend to be either A, social climbers, B, cheese makers, or C, good dancers.
Social climbers, you think?
I don't know.
Social
I breastfed, and I like to dance.
I like social climbers, though.
You like social
you
climbers,
You like social
though.
Climbers?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll go with you.
And he's in yeast. Yes. Social climbers. Or at least, you know, socially
upwardly
at ease.
Mobile.
I mean, at ease.
Yeah, okay.
Upwardly mobile.
Good one.
That's one right and one wrong. And the categories that are left are people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay, Gail, back to you.
John, how do you feel about things you should have learned in school?
Oh, I was in school for a long time, so maybe.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Is calling someone a bird brain an insult or simply a truism?
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
It's a good question. What do you think, Gail?
I'm thinking it's a truism.
All right, I'll go with that.
So you're saying you think the brains are actually similar between a bird and a human?
They have similarities, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a truism. They're basically the same thing. One's got a beak hanging off it. That's the only difference.
That's two right and one wrong.
All right, okay. Well, this has turned around entirely, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
What's left there, sir?
People, places, or odds and ends.
What do you think about odds and ends?
Oh, I like those.
All right, singing in a choir. When you sing in a choir, it syncs up one of the following. You go and get in sync in one of the following areas. Is it your menstrual cycle, cycles, heartbeats, or internal clocks while singing in a choir?
I think it's going to be heartbeats. What do you think?
I think it's heartbeats, too. I think we have our own rhythm.
That's right, heartbeats. You did it. Congratulations.
Oh, my God, how cool.
John, you'll grill like the great Quizmaster himself. That's you, Michael, with a bag of genuine Kickapoo John's lump charcoal from Kickapoo John himself. Gail, read about Michael's somewhat less than heavenly conjugal visit to France and Spain, among other adventures in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts.
Did I write about
and
that?
Apparently everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. And both of you can savor the union of fresh tomatoes with zesty jalapenos, bell peppers, and onions in a jar of medium salsa from Sanchez Specialties, and keep your summer vacation visitors up all night playing What Do You Know, the party game, including the irrepressible Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
John, you did it.
Thanks.
At least paid off. Gail, hang on. Thanks for playing. Congratulations. Just hang on for a minute and we'll catch up. Bye.
You can be part of What Do You Know live here at the beautiful Monona Terrace in Madison. Ticket and scheduling information is available on our website, notmuch.com.
All right, then. Here are the boys.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice. Wasn't that nice? That was unusually good. Not that it isn't always good, but more so. I want to remind people we're going to be in Oxford, Mississippi.
We are going to be in Oxford, Mississippi for all those down on the Ole Miss campus. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. September, what's the date?
I forget. What's the date?
What, you forget?
The 2nd, the 5th, the 10th, the 12th. I don't know.
Later.
He's showing me fingers.
20-something. Wait. What? 20. 20.
Just
many,
yell it.
How
yell
many
it.
Fingers are you holding up?
28th.
September 28th, Ole Miss, and
it'll be great
in Oxford. And Ms. K. Hooker Bryant, you know, was our greatest fan ever, helped arrange that. So really looking forward to being in Oxford once again.
And we'll be there down on the Friday before, wandering around town. That'll be exciting.
Yes.
You've been before. What are we going to see?
All kinds of things.
Antebellum.
Faulkner.
Homes.
You got to go to Faulkner.
Is that the right part of the state? I don't know.
Antebellum, yes. Before there was a bellum. Faulkner's place.
Antebellum.
Where he wrote on the walls, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Like
did.
In A Beautiful Mind?
Yeah, except it actually made sense.
Oh, okay. It wasn't obscure mathematics.
No. He was Faulkner.
I'm looking forward to that. So that is September 28th, Oxford, Mississippi. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
Be there.
And be there. It'll be great. And remember, you can always come and see us when we're home on this stage in the beautiful Monona Terrace in Madison. For tickets and schedule information, always you go to notmuch.com. Also at notmuch.com, there's the quiz. You can follow up Michael's tweets, all sorts of stuff to see. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thank you all for coming. Great to have you here. Let's
PRI, Public Radio International.